Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Now, we've been kind of laying the foundation for what this program is all about, talking about the needs, the need that we all have to understand the Bible and the devastating fruits, the what mankind has produced without living by every word. And as Herbert Armstrong said, the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle, and it doesn't really make sense to people until you put all of those pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together. So if we're going to get to know the Bible and to understand every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, what is the overview of the story flow of the Bible? Where would you begin reading? Some people just drop the Bible open and whatever page it lands on, that's what they read. Other people think we begin right at Genesis 1:1 and you just read all the way through. But the prophet Isaiah talked about how there must be here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You see, it all has to go together and connect together just like a jigsaw puzzle. The actual beginning, as far as the chronological order of the Bible, is not found in Genesis 1 and verse 1. It's found in John, in the New Testament, in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. We find verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." Now, the Word was the spokesman for God, the spokesman for the Godhead. And the Word is the one who later became Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, "All things were made by Him," or through Him, "and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." This world did not understand or comprehend what was being done, what God was doing when He sent His Son to this earth, and who the Son had been. He was the spokesman. He was the Word, and He had been there with God since before the earth was created. He was there from the beginning, before there was even what we call the beginning. There was neither beginning of days nor end of life, as it says in Hebrews 7, for God and for the Word. And the Word actually came and dwelt among us, verse 14. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So that's talking about Jesus Christ. So you have two beings here. You have the Word and you have God. And the Word was God also, in the same manner of how we would discuss a family, where you may have the father who has one name and the son who has another name, but they both have the same family name, the same last name. Now, this is talking about a time period before there was an earth, and these two beings lived together and dwelled together in perfect harmony and peace, and there was joy. There was no bickering, no arguing, no war. There was only one way of life, the way of love and the way of cooperation, the way of peace and unity. Now, God and the Word wanted to spread that way of life and share it and expand it, and so they decided to create other spirit beings. Notice in Job 38, now here God really is interrogating and correcting Job, who was very self-righteous and thought extremely highly of himself, and God is helping him to see just what he is, just how puny a human being is compared to God. Verse 4 of Job 38, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" So there came a time where God laid the foundations of the earth. there was a time when the earth did not exist, and a lot of scientists are out there trying to figure out the origins and the beginnings of the earth, and was it a Big Bang or was it something else? And if they would look into the Word of God, the revealed Word of God, they could understand there was a time when the earth didn't exist, and then God laid the foundations of the earth. And here he asked Job, well, where were you when I did that? Declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures of it, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now this is talking about the angels. So the angels were already created when God created the earth, when God created the material universe and laid the foundations of the earth here, as he's talking about. And there were already these spirit beings that had been created. Now let's go to Genesis 1 and continue with the story flow here. Genesis 1, in verse 1, says, in the beginning, God created the heaven, or the heavens, as it should read, plural, and the earth. Now, the word there for God in the Hebrew is Elohim. And Elohim is the word that Moses wrote. And it is a uniplural noun. It's a word like family or group, where there's one family but more than one member, or there's one group but more than one member within that group. It should read heavens plural as well, because there are actually three heavens. There's the earth's atmosphere is labeled in the Bible as one of the heavens, and then you have outer space as another heaven, and then beyond that, the third heaven where God dwells. So in the beginning, as a starting reference here, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Now, obviously, we just read about that in Job chapter 38. And when God did that, that's after the time period of John 1 and verse 1, where there was only God and the Word, and they both were God. And then at some point after that, God created the angels, these wonderful, powerful spirit beings, and they were there in existence when the earth was created, because they were there shouting for joy, as we just read in Job 38. Verse 2 then says, and the earth was, or the earth had become, it became, without form and void. That is, in the Hebrew, tohu and bohu. In the English, it's translated, and the earth was, but that word really should be translated, had become. Something happened. If you look at Isaiah 45 and verse 18, real quickly, we'll just notice something here that's very important. Isaiah 45 in verse 18, for thus says the Eternal, who created the heavens, God himself who formed the earth and made it, he has established it, and he created it not in vain, and he formed it to be inhabited. Now that word in the Hebrew for vain is tohu, the same word used there in Genesis 1 and verse 2. Now God made all of this out of nothing, and as we read even in John 1, it was all made through Jesus Christ. God made all things through the Word who became Jesus Christ. Ephesians talks about that as well. And God made it all out of nothing, but he made it for a purpose. He formed it to be inhabited, and he did not create it in a condition of tohu and bohu. So something happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. The earth became without form and without void. It became it came into a condition of decay, waste, and emptiness. God did not create it in that condition. What happened between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis 1 and verse 2? That tells a huge part of the story to begin to put these puzzle pieces together of getting to know God's Word and being able to properly live by it.
You're listening to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, on 101.3 KPCG. Our online live stream is at kpcg.fm, and we'll be back to the program here in just a moment. Wanted to mention a book to you that you're definitely going to want to order. It's a free book, and I will help you understand the topic being discussed on today's program of Live by Every Word. The title of the book is The Incredible Human Potential. You can find that at thetrumpet.com. You can request it there, you can read it right there at the website, or you can request a physical copy. You can download it to your smart device. Lots of ways to get The Incredible Human Potential. It says, it's positively astounding. It has remained undiscovered by science. No religion has revealed it. Higher education has never taught it. Is it possible the whole world has been deceived regarding the awesome purpose of human life, about the way to world peace and how it will come? And could it be true that the real gospel message Christ brought from heaven revealed this missing dimension, but was suppressed? This is the eye-opening story of the real gospel message of Jesus Christ, of how this missing dimension was withheld and the whole world deceived. That's the description of the free book written by Herbert W. Armstrong, The Incredible Human Potential. Make sure you request that at thetrumpet.com. Go to thetrumpet.com, click on the literature tab, and again, you can read it right at the site. You can request a physical copy. It's a big book, so it's great to get that physical copy of it. Or you can download it and read it on your smart device. Lots of ways to get it. The Incredible Human Potential. Make sure you request that. Go to thetrumpet.com and request The Incredible Human Potential. And now we'll go back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis, on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Okay, continuing on where we left off, let's go to Isaiah 14 now. I'll fill in a few more details of the story flow here. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you, as it should read, you who did weaken the nations? Now, God is directly addressing this great archangel, Lucifer, and the word Lucifer means light bringer. He was to bring light. He should have brought light, and instead he did just the opposite, and he actually weakens nations. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that there is an angel, a great archangel that rebelled against God, that turned to a different way of living, a different way of thinking, and he actually weakens nations. He influences leaders of nations. He attacks in that way. He actually turned from what he should have been, a light bringer, and he turned to becoming an adversary, the adversary of God. Verse 13, for you said in your heart, again, you see there's a problem with his heart. There's a problem with how he thinks. Now, last time we talked about there's a plague in the human heart. Every man has to see that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we talk about this human nature that we have and that we have to battle. It's actually Satan's own nature that he broadcasts as the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 and verse 2 says. And he is broadcasting his mind, his way of thinking, his vanity, his pride, and he preys on our emotions, our moods, our impulses. If we allow it, we have to fight against that. But it says here, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. He wanted to kick God right off of his throne. Notice how often the word I is used here. I mean, he just became consumed with himself, consumed with sin and selfish thinking, vanity, pride, and it led to all of the violence, all of the evil, all of the murder, everything that we see on the earth today. And he truly is the God of this world, and you can see the fruits and the evidence of it all around us. Now, I realize I'm going through covering a lot of territory here rather quickly, but it's setting the stage for an overview of, again, of putting the jigsaw puzzle pieces together so that we can kind of get an overview, and then we can get into other doctrines along the way. Let's just add to the piece, add to the puzzle picture here and go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, Peter writes, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned." Now you see, we've already seen that Lucifer sinned. Lucifer, this great archangel, this great cherub that was right there in the throne room of the universe with God and with the Word, and he was one of those covering cherubs, and he was educated by God himself, and who knows how long he was able to be there to watch and to listen and to learn from God himself and from the Word, the great being who became Jesus Christ. And he sinned, he turned against God, he turned to a way of thinking that was contrary to the way of love, and instead he just turned to selfishness and vanity and pride and rebellion, and he actually turned others to that way of life. Now, Revelation 12 talks about how he drew a third of the angels with him. He actually turned a third of the angels. And here in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, it talks about those angels. And they sinned as well, plural, angels. And it says, God, if God spared not those angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, or the Greek word there is Tartaros. It means a condition of restraint. And they're not allowed to just roam free in the universe. They are restrained. And it goes on and says, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now the point here is that there were more angels that also sinned. Now again, can you believe that? Can you believe that God created these angels and he wanted to share his way of life with them? And they were there when the earth was created, shouting for joy, and it was beautiful. And then something dreadful happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, to where the earth became tohu and bohu. It had fallen into a condition of chaos and decay, and God did not create it that way. It became that way because of what we're reading about here in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 and 2 Peter 2. Angels that sinned against God, that turned against him and became actually his adversary. Now look at Ephesians 6, because this is very important for you and me. Ephesians chapter 6. It's very easy for us not to understand what we're facing here on this earth, and we can have problems with other human beings and problems with our bosses or whatever the case may be. But what is it and who is it that we really have the problem with? Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, "For we," that's you, that's me, that's human beings, and "we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You see, we do have some very, very strong enemies, and they're not human beings. We have enemies that are spirit beings, and they're very strong, and we do, as this a passage of Scripture points out, we do need the entire armor of God, and we have to put it on in order to fight off Satan. But this is what we're wrestling against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not human beings that we're wrestling against. It's these fallen angels. It's Satan the devil. And the one-third of the angels that he deceived and led them into rebellion and into sin, to where they actually fight against God. That's who we are wrestling against. Now, it's very important for us to understand that. We have to understand the spirit world, because it is very real. As a matter of fact, it's more real than even the physical world. Now, most people don't believe that or don't understand that, and many people can scoff at that, but the spirit world is far more real than the physical world in which we live. So the angels sinned, and God had to turn, if you will, to a new plan of reproducing himself, because the angels proved that they were not able to properly administer God's government. They were not able to properly administer it, as it says there in Ezekiel 28. Lucifer was right there in the Garden of Eden, and he failed to administer God's government. He failed to promote and to spread God's way of life. And God saw that he could only rely on other beings with the very same character that he and the Word had. And so God set out to reproduce himself in man. And that is mind-boggling, truly, to understand that God is reproducing himself through human beings. And that's what your incredible human potential is to become born members of God's very own family. We'll get into that next time. So until then, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.